This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical.
Hal, you say that, and I feel guilty.
Why?
Well, because we haven't gotten enough episodes out recently.
Well, we've been a bit distracted. We've been out on the road.
We've been out on the road a lot.
Let's see now. In the past 14 weeks, I think we had something scheduled every weekend except for one.
Except for one in 14 weeks. It's been insane. I don't know what we were thinking when we scheduled the spring. But it's been event after event after event, including one weekend for a college graduation and one weekend for a wedding.
Yeah, and see, we didn't exactly schedule those. We just had to respond to other people's schedule.
And it's been crazy, though.
Yeah, but, you know, but crazy is what we do well. I mean, this is our life. I mean,
you know, you're right. Okay, so I'm looking at flights for a conference later this year, and I clicked to choose airports. And San Jose, Costa Rica came up, and my heart kind of lightened because I thought, that would be fun. Yeah, you're right. We're crazy. We love to travel.
Well, we had, you know, you mentioned a wedding. Our son Matthew married his college sweetheart, Camille. Wonderful wedding. Wonderful couple. We love them both. And the poor young folks went off on their honeymoon, and by the time they'd been married 3 weeks, they had driven 3,200 miles and had their own wedding and then taken part in another wedding and had to turn around and drive about 500 miles back to go to a family funeral. And it was crazy. And I talked to Camille recently. I said, well, I need to apologize. You have married into the family curse. You are going to be looking through the windshield a lot.
You know, it's fun though. I always feel happy when we pull out of the driveway. I love to travel, and we have seen some amazing things in the past few weeks.
Well, I mean, we got to go to Niagara Falls. We've been to the top of Mount Evans in Colorado, which is 14,000.
And it's the highest road in North America.
Yeah, the highest paved road in North America. That's right. We drove it.
It's been amazing.
And we have crisscrossed all over the Midwest. And in fact, we called that whole trip the Heartland Marathon Tour.
It has felt like a marathon, though.
That's our hashtag.
I must admit, I am ready to be home. I'm glad to be home in my own bed. You know, we can put a man on the moon, and yet the world is full of bad hotel mattresses.
That's an unfortunate fact.
It is. It's crazy. But, you know, hell, one thing I noticed as we've traveled around looking at, talking to people at all these different conferences, is that the parents that I've talked to who are really struggling with their kids, who are, you know, they're losing them. Their kids are prodigals, or they're prodigals who haven't left home yet. You know, they're prodigals in their hearts.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, that's a distinction. Yeah.
You know, I really noticed that there was something that all these families who were so different. You know, all those families were very different, but they had one thing in common.
And what's that?
They didn't have a good relationship with their kids.
You know, there's another thing that's in common. You know, 99% of these families we've met they're not bad parents. They're not the evil stepmother types. They're not, you know, trying to make their children's lives miserable. They're just goofing up some fundamental things, and they don't really see where they've made a misstep.
No, I could see the love in these parents' eyes. I remember, you know, a family we met in Virginia, and just tears in mother and father's eyes. Mm-hmm. They love their kids, but they've missed something along the way. And hell, it's really important, because do you remember we were looking at that study of, well, over 10,000 kids.
Right.
Who were raised in Christian homes, but are now adults. And do you remember that the biggest predictor of whether a child raised in a Christian home would stay in the faith as an adult is, did they have a good relationship with their Christian mother or father?
Yeah, either one.
Either one. It didn't even have to be both.
You know, it wasn't dad is everything. It was either one or to a lesser extent, a Christian grandparent.
Yeah.
But it was very much, you know, very, very much there was a strong correlation between a good parent-child relationship at the start and a child who has made their fate their own and continues to walk in it once the parents no longer can compel it. And that's, you know, that relationship thing is something which I think we easily goof up, and we sometimes, particularly I think with our older kids, we make some mistakes and don't even see what we've done until we get fruit at the end and think, oh, that was a mistake. I should never have done that.
And by that time, sometimes the baggage is so heavy, it's hard to let go of the baggage. You know, but one thing I think we need to make clear before we talk about this is we can't save our kids.
No,
only God can. Our good parenting doesn't save them, and our bad parenting doesn't condemn them.
That's right. And the choice of homeschooling over public school or whatever else, that's not really the key. It's they are saved by a loving, sovereign Father God. And we have to, you know, we have to have faith that God is going to work in our children the same as he's worked in us, and allow him to work without feeling like I've got to manipulate everything to get them all into the right places, and then I'll glue them down so that they'll walk the right way. And we just can't do that. I mean, God's not a vending machine. We can't put the coin in the top and press the right buttons and get the desired flavor at the bottom. I mean, it's just not, that's not the way the human heart works, and that's not the way God works.
So true. I do think it's fair to say, though,
yeah,
that God is often pleased to use truth spoken in the context of relationship to bring his people to himself.
Yeah. Yeah. And our children are have a particular blessing to be born into Christian homes. You know, that they have a Christian parent. And again, it may not be both, but that they have a Christian parent in their lives, that's a special blessing. It's not a guarantee that they're going to follow that parent's teaching or that parent's God, but it does put them in a place where they're likely to hear the truth, and they're likely to have it pressed on them in a loving way. And, you know, we have hope that God will work in that, because he's been pleased to work in that many times. So, you know, one of the things we talk about this in several of our workshops, you know, that we have quite a range of workshops that we talk about at conferences and churches and things like that. But one of the things that shows up again and again, topic after topic, is what can we do to build a relationship with our children and to maintain the relationship that's there?
Well, I think one thing that is easy to do, but is super not easy to do too. Mm-hmm. Okay, it sounds easy, but it's not so easy on a day-to-day basis. And that's because I was struggling with it today. I was trying so hard to get some work done, and one of my children wanted to talk to me, and I kept putting them off. I think for our kids to listen to us, we have to listen to them.
Yeah, and, you know, that's advice that we often give for people who are dealing with toddlers, you know, because toddlers have such a short attention span for everything but whining. You know, when they come up and tug on your sleeve, if you can give them 30 seconds, give them 2 minutes. Oftentimes that's all they need, but if you don't, they'll stand there and whine for the next hour. Well, you know, it's not just the toddlers, because we find that with our teenagers, we find it with our college students, we find it with our adult children sometimes, that they need to talk to their parents. They want advice, they want counsel, they want encouragement, or sometimes they need rebuke, whatever it is, but they want to connect with us, and if we don't make the time, if we don't give them the attention, that's like subtracting from the bank balance. That's like drawing down that stock of relationship that we build up.
Well, it really is, and it's surprisingly hard to do, because a lot of times we would be listening if they would talk to us about what we thought was important.
Right.
You know, if they came up and said, "Mom, could you talk to me about how do I know that, you know, that that someone is going to be the one I ought to marry? How do I, you know, how do I know there's a God?" We stop to talk about that. The problem is they don't want to talk about that stuff till we've proven that we care enough to listen to them when they're talking about stuff we don't care about.
Well, often they reach out to us with the things that they're currently obsessed about, with their own interests or hobbies or particular things that they've just fixed on. And sometimes we just kind of, we mentally, we sort of want to roll our eyes and think, Oh, not again. And yet, you know, this relates into something that you read the study, and I need to go back and refresh my memory on it, but there was a long-term study done with married couples where they looked at married couples early in their relationship, and then they looked at them years later, like 6 or 7 years later. And they said that the thing that they found in common is that every time somebody in the pair interacts, I mean, they raise the flag, so to speak, to say, hey, I just read something, or, oh, let me tell you what happened at work, or did you hear about this, or, you know, anytime that one person would reach out to the other one would respond somehow. Now, they would either turn toward that person in an accepting way to say, no, I didn't hear about that, tell me about it. Or else they would shrug them off. They'd turn away. They'd brush them off, say, oh, I don't have time for that, or they belittle it or put it down. And they found that the couples that had relationships that lasted were the couples that make a routine of always turning toward one another. They always show that interest in one another. They always show really the courtesy and consideration, because a lot of times you truly are not interested in what they want to share, but you're interested in that person.
And just like that shows that a good marriage is made in the moments, mm-hmm. a good relationship with our kids is made in the moments too. Hey, Mom, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mom, have you read this book? What do you think about this, Mama?
Yeah.
You know, hey, Dad, let me show you what I did.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is foundational to having a good relationship with our kids, is letting them know that they're important enough to us for us to stop and listen to them. And, you know, I feel guilty when I say that, because I put my kids off more than I ought to.
I think it's a common problem, and in some sense, I think that we as home educators may be more prone to that because we're with our family so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're with them all the time, and so we hear the constant prattle, if you will. You know, we hear the constant chatter about things, and we get used to, unfortunately, we get used to filtering our family out. And that's the same as, I think, if you're working from home, you have the same problems. You know, there's times when you have to focus on what you're doing, but sometimes you don't realize that, I'm sorry, I've focused on something else all day long. I put everybody else aside because I'm trying to focus on this one thing.
Yes.
And maybe I truly don't need to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's emergencies, but maybe I don't want to be bothered. And, mm-hmm. and that is bad. And so, you know, you made the comment there, and I think this is an important principle, that relationships are built up of moments.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can break a relationship real quick with a big cataclysmic sin or betrayal or whatever, and that does happen. But how often do we just find, you know, that a relationship has become difficult with a child or with a mate or with a coworker even, that's not a result of anything that you've, you know, quote, done, but rather just the constant inattentiveness, the constant inconsiderate behavior or failure to respond or whatever, and you just kind of slowly erode whatever relationship you've had. So we don't want to do that. I mean, we do need to say, okay, I value this person, even if they're an interruption, yes. even if they're going to tell me a lame story that I've already heard, even if, you know, all of those things, I value this person more than the particular thought or the article that I'm trying to finish or whatever else.
Yeah.
And so that's an important thing to think about. I remember you were involved with an organization some time ago that used to say very frequently, people are more important than things. Wasn't that kind of a catchphrase there? It wasn't part of their motto, but that was something that cropped up all the time in their discussions.
Well, and sadly, I think we need to change that nowadays to say the people in front of you are more important than the people online.
IRL.
Yeah, because it's so easy to get wrapped up in what we're doing online, the friends we're talking to, the people we're answering, and forget that our kids need us more than they need us. Because, well, you know, like we've talked about before, I was shocked to go to a friend's funeral and find out that although she had helped thousands of people in our area,
quite literally
thousands, that there were only about five people from this group of people she helped at her funeral.
Yeah.
But all her family was there. And, you know, we need to make sure that, the people who wouldn't miss our funeral get what they need from us before we give to the rest of the world.
Let me put a little provision in there, too, though. You know, when you talk about dealing with the person in front of you and not the person that's online, we do need to make an exception when you're, for example, you're communicating with one of your children online. You know, it's not it's not the fact that you're using an electronic device, but it's the thing you got to watch out for is the distraction of the buzz on Facebook
or Instagram or whatever.
Instagram or whatever. That you, these are people that you barely know. They don't have a day-to-day role in your life. And
that we need to be focusing on the people that we have been given responsibility for.
Right.
First.
Right.
Hal, we need to take a break, though.
Okay. We have a new book out, and this is partly about relationships. The relationships between guys and girls, and particularly from the guy's perspective, how do you walk in a way that's pleasing to God to build strong and God-honoring relationships with the opposite sex, but recognize all of the temptations that are coming at you from, you know, as a young man, they're just being bowled over by temptations and spiritual attacks and everything else. And so we wrote a book for the young guys, for the teenagers and the single 20-somethings, to help them navigate these waters. It's called Love, Honor, and Virtue, Gaining or Regaining a Biblical Attitude Towards Sexuality. This is a short book. It's punchy, quick read, but it's got a lot of information. It's everything from how did God design sexuality to work? Where does Satan try to trap us in this? What do you do if you've fallen into the trap? But best of all, how can you form a strong relationship with a young woman in a way that's going to be pleasing to God and is going to be doing it the right way? And so we want to encourage you, if you're interested in that, come out to our website, raisingrealmen.com/LHV, or just go to lovehonorvirtue.com. We're talking about relationships of all sorts, not just guys and girls, but, you know, parents and children, and also, you know, husband and wife come into this same kind of thing. It's not just communication, though. We got to be careful about the content of our communication, you know, that we can be sometimes we don't realize that we're too critical. And I think because we have high expectations and, well, I've heard people say, you know, I love my children so much, and I want everybody else to love them just as much. And so I'm constantly picking on them, carping at them. I'm constantly tweaking something about them because I want them to present themselves just as wonderfully as I see them.
The problem is that how would you like to be the person who is constantly carped at and criticized and corrected?
Well, you feel like, I can't please you. I never get any praise. I never get any affirmation. It's always, oh, this is not quite right. You're not quite up to snuff. Here, let me fix you.
And that's why it's really, really, really important to praise our kids. You know, our parents' generation were pretty discouraged from praising their kids because they thought it'd make them proud.
Well, you know, the old mountain folk would say they get the big head. I mean, you think it would all go to their head, and they become puffed up with their own importance if you lavish too much praise on a child. But
you know, I think that's mitigated, Hal, by praising them when we see virtues in them.
I think, acknowledging the true objective qualities that we see. When we see an evidence of good character, when we see a good behavior, and we want to say, hey, you know what, I know that wasn't something that was easy. You know, that it was hard for you to stand up and to ask that question or to read that passage in a Bible study or you know, it was tempting for you to disobey and to go do this activity that we told you not to, but you stood firm and you did what you were supposed to, and that's a good thing, and we need to praise that sort of behavior.
And I think when we give them, I think that's especially important, Hal,
mm-hmm.
when they're going through a phase where they're are acting horribly.
Ooh.
You know, when they're in trouble all the time and they've got a stinky attitude and they're sassy and it's really hard to when it's really hard to find something to praise, I think it's especially important to find something to praise.
You know, immediately what comes to my mind is the passage that says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
You know, and we love him because he loved us first.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't because Jesus looked around and said, oh, that one over there, they're so sweet. I love their temperament. I'm just going to lavish my grace and mercy on that person because they're so good already. Uh-uh. No. You know, Jesus reached out to us when we were beyond bad. I mean, he pulled us up out of the mud and he gave us life. He gave us a new heart. He blessed us when we were basically his enemies. And you know what? Our kids are not our enemies, but sometimes they can be kind of unpleasant. And we need to think about that and realize our Heavenly Father's already given us an example of reaching out to the unlovely and the unlovable and the difficult and irritating persons in his creation. And sometimes our kids can be difficult and not especially lovable on a day. And that's sometimes when they need it the most.
I think that's too when they need to see us. They need to see gladness in our eyes when we see them.
Mm-hmm.
They need to see us light up and show joy when we see them.
Mm-hmm.
They need us to put an arm around them and hug them. You know, because they need to be reassured of our love and our regard for them when they're in trouble all the time.
I remember we had one son who had temper issues, and he would, oh my word, he had such difficult times, and we would have difficult times with him. And I remember more than once just walking over to him and wrapping him up in a bear hug and say, son, you're going to be all right, and we're going to be right here for you, and we love you, and this is just a hard day today. And I think they need that. I think they need to see our love. We need to be constant in that. You know, that we don't need to, gosh, there have been some authors that say, well, you need to withhold affection until that child is lovable.
Oh, that's such bad advice.
Well, Jesus doesn't.
Horrible
Thank
advice.
Heavens for that. The Lord doesn't withhold his love. And so we need to do that to our kids and say, you know what? You're being a very difficult, unpleasant child today, but you're my child, and I love you, and you're not going to be this way all the time, and I'm going to show unusual patience right now because I think it's the right thing to do, and I think you really need it.
Do something fun with them.
Yeah?
You know, do something they want to do.
Well, we've done some fun things like that. Like, you know, I had one son who was very precocious musically. And he got involved in a local community orchestra. And the last couple of years he was in high school, I joined the orchestra with him. And that was something we did together every Sunday. We went to orchestra practice and we did a concert every season. And that was fun. That was a good time to reach out. And, you know, we've had things that we've done with all of our kids like that.
You know, one more issue I want us to talk about before we run out of time, Hal, is the importance of controlling your anger for a couple of reasons. And I tell you what, if I ever got a tattoo, which I don't have any, I don't plan to get any.
Right.
It would be the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God on my forearm. Because I tend to go to anger. I get mad easily. And God has promised us our anger won't work. And I think that one thing that I've had to do, and I think this is so important when you're dealing with a child where your relationship is troubled, is you have got to not take it personally. Because as long as you're taking it personally and you're angry and you're defensive, then the battle is between you two.
Yeah, it's a me versus you situation, and who's going to win? And that means I have to make you lose in order for me to win.
Instead, you need to kind of take yourself out of it so they can see the problem is between them and God.
Scary as that is.
But it really is. That is where the problem rests. But we get into it, we insert our personalities into it because they've done it again. They've melted down when we need to be cleaning house because company's coming. Mm-hmm. Or when we've got a big event to go to. And how could they do this? It's the third time this week. And we make it about us and we feel like they're doing it to us. When really it's their sin, it's their rebellion against God that's causing the trouble.
It's really that they are giving in to their own temptations because they're irritable or they're hormonal or they're not feeling well or they've got hurt feelings or something, and so they lash out. And if we can kind of step back and say, look, your behavior is displeasing to God. Now, I don't like it either, but really and truly, it's not about me. It's about you're not walking in a way that's pleasing to the Lord.
Yes.
And I need to help you get back on the right track. And You know, that's a useful thing. You know, I think when you can kind of step back and be objective, I found that sometimes when I was really frustrated with dealing with the kids, like having several of them that had been in fights all day long, and I'm having to be like Solomon and give wisdom to try to straighten this out, to think, okay, I need to be judicious. I need to step back and say, I'm going to be calm. They've got all this anger going around here, but it's not me. And I'm going to try to rule in an even-tempered manner, because ultimately God wins. God's word rules over all of us. And I need to coach these young people on ways that they can get back in step with the Lord. And that really helped me. That helped me to calm down a lot. And so, yeah, you're right there. We've got to watch our own anger. We've got to be careful about our own reactiveness. And now, it's fair to say, you know, to sit down and calmly tell your child if your child is being really obnoxious, or if your mate has done something that's really offended you. It's okay to sit down and say, look, sure, we need to talk. I need to explain something about, you know, how that's impacted me. You know, how you're hurting my feelings. I think it's an interesting point that there's a passage in the Old Testament law that God says, you shall not hold a grudge against your brother. Mm-hmm. You know, that you're to go to your brother when you've got an offense, when you've got some problem. You're to go to your brother and say, I have a problem and I need to talk to you about it so we can resolve this and put our relationship back in the right perspective. Yes. And I think, you know, that's not to say you just suck it up and just let it keep on going, but
no,
rather to say
you have to
deal with it in a calm and a reasonable manner.
Exactly. I'm not saying let them get away with it, let them get away with the disrespect. But it's just that when we get angry, then that further damages the relationship and does not bring them to repentance.
So.
And so we've got to control our own anger and instead point them to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you listen first and then you calmly take them to the Word of God or explain reality to them. And then you issue punishment.
Or maybe you apologize.
Sometimes that's, I have to apologize.
Oh, yeah. Of course we do, because we're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. And some people would say, well, don't apologize to a child. That just takes you off your pedestal. But honest to goodness, I mean, that pedestal fell over when they were 3 years old. And the fact is, when we humble ourselves to say, you know what, child, I was wrong. I was not fair to you. I was not just. I punished you for something without letting you explain it, or I jumped to an assumption or a conclusion here that wasn't actually true. I need to ask your forgiveness. I need to apologize and ask you to please forgive me because I was wrong. That's an important lesson. They need to see us do that. And of course, for our own spiritual health, we need to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that sort of humility is something that's important to cultivate in ourselves, to give it as an example to our young people.
And so some good ways to build relationship are to listen to your kids.
Listen to them.
To praise them and show delight in them. Mm-hmm. To do fun things with them.
Right.
And to control your anger. Don't get mad. Instead, listen and point them to Christ. And discipline when you need to, but do it calmly.
Well, all important stuff. And it works in all kinds of relationships. So give it a try. See what you think.
Relationships are made in the moments.
Yes, they are. Well, look, we are about out of time. It is good to be back with you, and we hope that you'll join us again when we talk some more about taking biblical principles into everyday practical family life, because that's really the thing. You know, the scriptures tell us to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. That means you got to put it in practice.
That's right.
You got to put feet on it. And so we're going to help you with that where we can. And we hope to be with you again soon.
We'd love for you to connect with us online at RaisingRealMen.com
mm-hmm.
or at any social media /RaisingRealMen.
That's right. Hey, and if you'd like to support this ministry, because, we can certainly use your support, please, first, pray for us. But secondly, you can be a financial supporter, too, if you come to Patreon, patreon.com/HalAndMelanie. We've got a growing base of supporters out there that give us a little bit per month, maybe $1 a month, maybe $100 a month, whatever the Lord gives you. But that's a good way that you can kind of join the ministry team. And that way, our ministry in part becomes your ministry too.
So thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye-bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.